verse 11. For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. I will bring them out from the people, and gather them from the country, and will bring them to their own land, and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the way, and in all the inhabited places of Israel. In the season and good heaven, and upon the high mountains, the mountains of Israel shall they hold. There shall they lie in a good place, and in the fat pasture they shall feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and will cause them to lie down, says the Lord God. I will keep that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. And as for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I judge between cattle and calves, between the rams and the eagles. Even if it is small thing in you, it has eaten up the good pasture. You have spread down with your feet the residue of your pasture, and have drunk from the deep waters, that you have fouled the residue of your pasture. And as for my flock, they eat. ability of that master to change. So as the sheep are helpless, as the sheep are hopeless, general statement, therefore, concerning the spiritual state of every man, away from God, outside of Him, man is left to his own nature. Man is left to the information of his own nature. He finds himself lost. He finds himself of sin, he's in a state of misery, helplessly lost, unable by his own searching, unable by his own efforts to find the way back, going the way that is straight, going the way because of his natural inclination, away from God, but away from God. Also in verse 16, that not only are they described as being lost, but they're described as being broken and being sick. Images that state for us the nature of their sin, the nature of their depression. We recall in the opening chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah, he speaks to us of the sin of sin. He covered his nose from the top of his head to the bottom of his head. is given to the shepherd, and well, it should be. The salvation is of the Lord. And well, it should be that our attention is drawn to the shepherd, to the salvation that the people of God must not from within the shepherd. Salvation is the offer of the shepherd. The emphasis is placed upon the shepherd. Let's notice first, please, the identity of the shepherd. We find in two verses, verse 11 and verse 23, the identity of the shepherd in an absolute sense. The shepherd is the Lord God. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search out my people and seek them. The Lord God. This is Adonai Jehovah. Adonai Jehovah. Adonai speaks to us of the master. It speaks to us of the ruler. It speaks to us of the controller. It speaks to us of the sovereign God. The Lord. Adonai, the master, the sovereign, the ruler of all things. The word stretch. The sovereignty of God. That description, that title of his sovereign, is here connected to his covenant name, the Holy Spirit. The God who desires to enter in very special relationships with us. The God who desires to enter into very intimate and vital relationships with us. The God who, as the creator of the universe, stands with authority above this creation. The God who enters into the relationship. God of the God who desires to enter into the relationship with him. And it's that God who becomes here the shepherd, and through his voice, we have the word of the shepherd that he will search out the sheep and speak to God. It's the sovereign Jehovah. That from all eternity out of his good place has ordained to deliver him out of that estate of sin, out of that estate of misery, and to bring him state of salvation. Salvation. Let's understand this. If you understand nothing, let us understand this. Let us understand that salvation is that which the sovereign God, the merciful God, has done. His way is up. Those that come under him. Those that come under him. Man is one, but it's his. Man can devise whatever plan they will. The plan that will take them over. The shepherd is identified as my servant. I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant. He shall feed them, and he shall be their servant. Who is the servant? Lord Jesus Christ, that is the only person to whom these words can apply. That one who from the family of David, that one who represented the throne of the leadership of the family of David, is that descendant that realized. Father's shepherds of Israel. We're leading for this one. We're leading for this who's identified as my children. And all the good things were typical. They spoke to us of the righteousness of Christ. In their wickedness and in their false belief on the anticipation of this one. All we need for this show. The appointment of the church. Notice it. I will set up the Lord God's people. God's decree to bring this salvation by a Redeemer. That Redeemer was chosen by God. Gathered from all the countries to be the Lord. I will set up. I will cause to stand. I will raise up. I will establish this one. Therefore, this shepherd came to come to bring salvation. This shepherd came to come to seek the lost, to bind up the broken, to heal the sick. This shepherd king comes with all the authority of God. He comes with all the sanctity of eternity behind him. That one becomes an appointment to be the Redeemer. Identified here as responsible. Humiliation of Christ, who in the incarnation, you're told by Paul in Philippians, took the form of a servant, and as a servant became obedient to all the demands and all the penalties of the world. Speaks to us yet of the humiliation. It speaks to us of the great contrast between this servant, this shepherd, and the false shepherds that we read in the first 10 verses, who were anything but humble, who were anything but God's chosen for the conquest. Christ is called to humility, to service, to became obedient to all the demands of God, both often from us, of the necessity and of the importance of that act of obedience, of the necessity of Christ in his humanity, being made of a woman, being made of a man, to keep all the demands of the law, to keep the full obedience to the law, to prove himself by his obedience to be the perfect Lamb of God, and to offer the sacrifice. Servant to God in his incarnation and in humility. And the designation my servant speaks to us of that. And that's very important. But it speaks to us more than just this humility. It speaks to us of more than simply to the obedience to the law of God and his payment of the penalty of sin. That designation, my servant, rather than often being a designation of humility, became a designation to express the one that was chosen by God. We look in the 42nd chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah. We recall that in the prophecy of Isaiah, there are a series of songs that describe the work of the servant. Servant of the Lord. The greatest of all would be the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, which speaks to us of the suffering of that one who indeed became obedient unto God. But in chapter 42, we find the prophetic ministry of the servant. And notice in the first verse, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles." The passage goes on to speak of the ministry. But notice the connection there between Christ being called the servant of God and in God. Christ was chosen. Christ was set apart to a perform a work that no one can. That which Christ was set apart to perform. The redemption that was to be accomplished by the sacrifice is a work that no mere man can accomplish. It is a work that no mere man can accomplish for another man. It was a work that no man could accomplish for himself. A work that only Christ did. Christ did hold. He was appointed. He was set apart by God to accomplish the purpose of God in ourselves. I will set up one shepherd. Is it you? Okay. One in contrast to the many that had preceded, whose selfish rule had caused the long before. But more important, it speaks to us of the unique. Speaks to us of this being the only shepherd that can accomplish this work. Only Redeemer. The only Redeemer of God is the Lord Jesus Christ, who being the eternal Son of God, became man. So well, and continue to be God and man to the sinless Christ. The only man would like to find other ways. But if the Scripture is clear on anything, it is clear on this, that there is but one way. Here on him. On the unique of God's plan. Contrary to human opinion, contrary to human desire, contrary to human plan that would like to devise their own way to salvation, contrary to man's estimation of himself that makes him feel that he can do something that in some way would please God and give him glory. Contrary to the depraved imagination of man, I said, be no man can come under the power except you. The only Savior. To his own imagination, to divine some of his God made a special. No other reason. The shepherd that he has a place. Would you be saved tonight? On Christ, as he is offered to you in the gospel. We find also, as we consider the second, the initiative of the second. You cannot read this passage without being impressed with the number of I wills that come from the mouth. Verse 11, behold, I, even I, will boast in heaven. Verse 12, so will I seek out my people. Verse 13, I will bring them out. Verse 14, I will feed. Verse Verse 15, I will feed. Verse 16, I will seek and hunt and hunger. The initiative of the shepherd. The language of verse 11 is very forceful. Behold, a word that is used to call special attention to something of great importance. Pay attention. Listen up. God Himself is going to act. Great importance. Those sheep that are in themselves helpless, those sheep that are by themselves hopeless, for God Himself is going to help. That's the beauty of the gospel. That which we cannot do for ourselves. That which we could in no way accomplish for ourselves. God did. In His infinite mercy. In His infinite mercy. He has done what needs to be done as far as the salvation of God. Left to ourselves, we have no hope. Our depraved wills exercised within the sphere of our depraved character, we take it over in God. God's you notice the engagement of the shepherd. You find the language that describes his searching of his sheep. A remarkable foreshadowing of the parable of the lost sheep in Luke chapter 15. We find the shepherd going to whatever he is, going through whatever circumstances he wants, bringing that lost sheep to his home. The shepherd does whatever it has to find his home. Notice some of the activity of the shepherd. He speaks to us all in verse 7. Speaks to us of a minute examination. The word seek there in search involves the idea of an affectionate, diligent in search. And it doesn't matter what the circumstances are, the circumstances could be cloudy, they could be dark. Regardless of how far you've gone in sin, Christ is coming. Regardless of how far you think you've gone away from God, the great shepherd is seeking and searching for the living. There's no place where a sheep can hide if you cannot find it. In the song, he was sometimes. I sought the Lord, and after a word I knew, He moved my soul to seek Him, seeking Him. Was not I that found O Savior? He searches, and thank God, He finds. He is successful in his own. And if he finds those who long to him, on Gospel, verse 4, chapter 10, verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and know of my sheep. Sixth chapter of John says, all that the Father hath given me shall come to me, and all that cometh to me, I will in no wise. There's the thing. Those that come, He will in no wise come, and all that the Father has given him. And when He finds, He reverses the condition of the sheep. In verse 14, we're told that He feeds them in a good pasture. He makes them lie down in a good fold.
He places them by the rivers, in verse 13. The good path, luxuriant, abundant supply. Christ, the bread of life. Christ, the water of life. For those who will spiritually feed and drink of him. That is indeed spiritually. When the prophet Isaiah, he offers that great gospel call in chapter 55, speaks to those who are thirsty, speaks to those who hunger, that don't have the wherewithal, that don't have the money to satisfy their soul. The invitation comes for those who hunger. The invitation comes for those who thirst. To come to the bread of life. To come to the water. And there lies the healing. There's none who thirst that cannot have that spirit into his heart. There's none who hunger that cannot have that hunger satisfied. He needs to meet. Verse 15, he gives rest. For the feet of my heart, I will cause them to lie down. I will cause them to sleep. That's the Lord God. The wandering, the straying have come to an end. No more are we going in a direct contrary. No longer are we going on those paths that take us farther and farther away. Given peace. There's perfect rest. There's perfect security. There's perfect security for those who find it. For those that are saved. And they're saved. They're restored. They're refreshed. They're fed by His word. And if you this evening did not know this, the invitation of the Lord is that all who come unto me, I will. Would you come to this shepherd this evening? Well, know beyond all doubt, know on the authority of the Word Himself, that if you come, He will in no wise. The door of the fold is open. If any man come through that door, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Can that be any more clear than that? But if you can be saved, if you receive Him, if you rest upon Christ as He is offered in the gospel, you will be saved. You no longer walk as a person. You're no longer broken. You're no longer sick, for He heals the sick. You're no longer sad. When you're brought into that place, the long thank you to those who come through the door that you have. How much more attractive it is inside the door than those that try to enter into the fold in some other way had no chance. They had no chance. Oh, they may feel those round about them and they're thinking that they're in the fold. But if you're resting on your salvation, you're thinking on some other thing besides Christ, salvation tonight is simply based upon your morality. If your hope of salvation tonight is based simply upon your moral living, upon you're not drinking the smoke or dancing or this, that, or the other, your hope is on the wrong path. Unless your hope saving of the shepherd, but we also find that he was saved. He judges between the cattle and the calves. Those that think they're in the fold by some other way will be found. Those who have professions of faith apart from salvation. One day be separated from the sheep of his soul, from the sheep of his soul. The shepherd also discerns. He judges. He makes the difference clear between his soul and his soul. And the sheep belong not to him. Good shepherd. The good shepherd that laid down his life for interesting image. The Christ who is the shepherd of the also was the Lamb. The Lamb of God without spot. The Lamb of God without blemish. The Lamb of God became the perfect man. He became the propitiation, the satisfaction of God's wrath. The Lamb gave his life. And the shepherd humbled him to bear. Through which, if any man is interested, shall be saved. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come into your presence this evening in the name of the Lord Jesus. We give thanks, O Lord. Christ, the Lamb of God, is our shepherd. Those of us who know Christ as our Savior will thank you this evening from the very depths of our being. We have entered into the door of the faith. And that we can affirm with all confidence of heart because of the confidence we have in the Word of God, because we have entered into the faith. Father, I pray the Holy Spirit of God to draw others to that door of the faith. Those who may be here without the Lord Jesus Christ, who have never with saving grace. I pray, O Lord, the Holy Spirit to convict the spirit, to show them that without Christ they're lost, they're broken, they're sick, and but that through Christ, the good shepherd, they have life. eternal life. Demonstrating to you the reality of your faith. The fact that you're outside the fold of Christ, you need to be saved. We offer the invitation of the gospel. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The gospel is true. It offers to those that are do not leave this building tonight without knowing that your eyes will be lit up and that your hands found in the soul of the Spirit. Be at the door. Please do not leave. God is speaking to me of your need of help. More than happy and desire to share with you from the Word of God. Scripture makes it very clear. The gospel preacher, I must impress upon you the urgency of the gospel. To seek the Lord while he may be found. While he allows himself to be found. For today is the day of salvation now in the church of salvation. The invitation of the gospel is an urgent question. Be impressed with that urgency. Those of us who are in the fold may we be reminded tonight of the great benefit and the great advantage we have by being your children.